Go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1. This Sunday, I'm beginning a series called Your Financial Revolution. It's based on the message title comes from Gary Kesey's book by the same title, Your Financial Revolution. And I'd encourage you to get the book. Now, the messages aren't really going to go along with the book. I just like the title, and I thought, okay, I'm going to call my series the same name. But the book is great. The book is phenomenal. It will help you understand finances, kingdom finances, in a different way. And that's what we need. We need to understand it, especially as it comes to this thing, a breaking out of the earth-cursed mindset. Listen, here's what I believe. Most of us are living way below what was purchased for us through the blood of Jesus Christ, His resurrection, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I believe everybody in this room is living way below what we have opportunity to live in. I think most of us, we live almost like in a mobile home with a gold mine right behind us, okay? Nothing wrong with living in a mobile home. But when you've got a gold mine right behind you, why in the world are you living in a mobile home? Let me tell you why you'd be living in a mobile home. Because you're not going into the gold mine. You're not accessing what is there. You see, when it comes to levels of forgiveness and joy and love, when it comes to levels of knowing people, when it comes to, say, levels of living the abundant life, most of us are living maybe this deep. When God says, it is as vast as this room here. Jesus said these words, John 15:8, it is to my Father's great glory that you produce much good fruit. It's His will that much good fruit comes from your life, that you live in abundance. In fact, we know that famous passage, John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief comes to do what? Y'all fill in the blanks. The thief comes to do three things. Okay, for those that didn't know that, steal, kill, destroy. So anything that looks like stealing, killing, and destroying in from the Lord. Jesus said, that's what the evil one came to do, but I have come to give you life, and life what? Y'all fill in the blanks. More abundant life. And that's with everything. I don't think that just applies to my level of forgiveness. Well, I know I'm going to have abundant life when I get to heaven. Amen? Amen? Can everybody say amen to that? Amen? Amen. But I think we can live in that abundance here and now. I don't think I've got to wait for it all to happen then. It's going to happen then. I know that. In fact, I want you to go ahead. Let's just do this. Okay, keep your finger there in Genesis 1. Well, that shouldn't be too hard to find. Okay, let's Mark chapter 10. Okay, you don't need to really keep your finger in Genesis 1. But look at Mark 10 with me. Mark 10, beginning verse 17, okay? I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but this is good. This is really, really good. This is the story of the rich man who comes to Jesus and says, you know, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him, in verse 18, you know, keep the commands. And the young man responds, well, I've done that. And so Jesus says, you're right. And then he says, but there's one thing you haven't done. And if you know the story, he tells him, you know, you've got to go and sell everything. Give it to the poor and then follow me. And it says his face fell. He was sad, for he had many possessions. And Jesus said, you know, it's really, really hard. It's really, really hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And then the disciple says in verse 26, then who in the world can be saved? And Jesus gives that famous passage, you know, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then Peter pops up and he says the thing that all of us would say. Okay. Well, now look at us. You know, we've given up everything to follow you. And notice what Jesus says. Okay, I don't care where you are, get your head into this passage right here, okay? Mark 10:26. Yes, I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive, what's the next word? What's the next word? Now. That's not now. You'll receive now, in return, 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property. He says there's abundance now. Now, I'm not going to go into what does that mean. What it means is abundance, okay? Let's just get that straight. It means life more abundantly. He says not only are you going to receive that, but what's the next thing he says you're also going to get? And there'll also be persecution that will come along. He just balances it out. Instead of those guys saying, woohoo, this is awesome, it's like, okay, and by the way, persecution will follow. There will be hardship. You do have an enemy who hates you and who's going to go after your life. But still, he says, you can receive that now. So to me, now means... Because he goes on to say, look, and not only now, but in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. So he's saying it's now and later, right? I mean, there's a candy they have to call now and later, right? That's the way it is. You get it now, you get it later. What I'm trying to help you do, and listen, you see that right there? I'm going to try to break that out of you today. Some of you, you're going to get upset, and you're going to squirm, you're going to say this, you're going to say that, because we are so bound up in the earth curse mindset. We just think this is the way life is supposed to be. It's always supposed to be this way. It's always supposed to be hard. So I want you to look here on the screen at this diagram, and let me just explain this. So if you're taking notes, this would be the place to capture in your notes right here. You've got the cross in the center with the passages there, Galatians 4:37. There's another passage too that I'll add in a moment. But top left, it says God's desire. Bottom left, earth curse system. Top right, earthbound living. Bottom right, kingdom living. So just to explain that, now, what I wanted you to do is you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and look at what God's desire is, that top left corner. God's desire is the Genesis 1 reality, which is, he said, look, verse 28, he blessed them, Adam and Eve, and he said, be fruitful and do what? Multiply and fill the earth and govern it. You have dominion here. Reign over the fish. See the birds of the sky, all the animals that scurry along the ground. We have dominion here. He gave mankind authority on the earth. As the psalmist said, the earth belongs to man, the heavens belong to God. He gave us the earth to govern, to manage, to steward, to take care of, and for us to be fruitful. And when we think of fruitful, what do we think of? We think of kids, right? And that's part of it. But as Jesus said in John 15:8, it's everything. I've come to give you life more abundant, John 15:8, it is to my Father's great glory that you be fruitful in every part of your life. That's how I understand this. So this fruitfulness, breaking out of this earth curse system, we have to understand what God's desire is. He desires that I be have plenty, that I be fruitful, that my relationship with him, that I be experienced. Look, that I not just experience a drink of the Father's love, but I live under the waterfall of the Father's love. And some of us get splashed by the Father's love occasionally, and it's great. You know, it's like, whoa, that was good. But he's saying, look, you can live under the waterfall. There's more to it. More realms of forgiveness. There's more realms of freedom. There's more realms of abundance. There's more realms of joy. There's just a whole lot more. And that's what Genesis 1:28, I believe, is giving us a picture of. We can know God in a deep and profound way, and others in a deep and profound way, more than what we're experiencing. That's his will. But we live in Genesis 3. Most of us live right here. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 3. This is the mindset you have to get out of. And it's the Genesis 3, 17 through 18, 19 mindset. And it goes like this. And since you, Adam, listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. In other words, because you sinned, you've brought a curse upon all mankind. A curse. You're living under a curse now. You sinned, you chose it, now here's the curse that you chose. And this is it. The ground's cursed because of you. And all your life, you will struggle. Can you say struggle? Anybody relate to that? Struggle. scratch to make a living, thorns and thistles. Verse 19, by the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground which you were made. Sweat, toil, struggle. Sweat, toil, struggle. Sweat, toil, struggle. And that is, for most of us, how we view existence. It's just going to be this way. It's sweat, toil, struggle. It's just going to be hard. It's never going to get any better. That where I am today is where I'm always going to be, because that's just the curse that's come upon mankind. And not only that, but it happens in our relationship with God. We think, well, I know God, and I know He's happy with me when I work. And I know everything's okay with you when I work. And if I'm doing right and being the kind of person that I know I'm okay with you because I'm working to make sure the relationship. It's all about work, right? Work. I try to do good so God's happy with me. I try to do good in our relationship so you'll be happy with me. It's all about work. It's all about effort. It's what we are, most of us, are used to. So that's the earth curse system. Now, you need to understand this. The Old Testament was given to us in part as a shadow to show us reality. And so what I want to do is I want to extract one of those shadows out and show you how God intended for life to be, but how it ended up being. And so the first part, and again, this goes, I'm kind of clicking back and forth here, but going back to this diagram, you see the earth curse system. This is an example right here. Exodus 1 and 2 is an example of the earth curse system. So if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 2, you can look at there, or actually Exodus 1, we'll go there first. Exodus 1, it's the second book in the Old Testament. Exodus 1, begin with verse 8, talks about this new king, new Pharaoh comes to power. He did not know Joseph. He did not know Joseph's descendants. And he was afraid. And he says, you know what? Verse 10, we must make a plan to keep them, that is Joseph's descendants, from growing even more. If we don't and war breaks out, they're going to join their enemies and fight against us, and they'll escape from our country. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. Say slaves. They became their slaves, and they appointed brutal slave traders over them, or drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. Say crushing labor. Crushing labor. Anybody ever feel that? Slaves, crushing labor. You can read the rest of the story. Chapter 2, they cry out to God, please deliver us. The Israelites are saying, look, folks, that's not the way it was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be that way. It wasn't that way with Abraham. It wasn't that way with Isaac. It wasn't that way with Jacob. It wasn't really that way with Joseph. And then when Joseph's descendants and brothers came, they put them in the land of Goshen. You know, that's that area kind of around Cairo or whatever. And there was great abundance over there. They were eventually, honestly, they were supposed to leave and go to the promised land, but they didn't. And they stayed, and in time, they became enslaved. That's not the way it was supposed to be. You see, the way it was supposed to be was later stated in Deuteronomy chapter 8. They're supposed to go in the promised land. Eventually, they worked their way there. You know the story and all the plagues and then going through the Red Sea, and then the 40 years in the wilderness because of their disobedience. But finally, when they end up at the edge of the promised land, God says, okay, now here's how life is supposed to be for you people. Again, this is a shadow. This is a shadow. This is a picture of a reality that we can walk in. Now, I know some of you are like, man, I can't make that jump. Okay, that's fine. I can make that jump. And so I'm asking you to jump with me. So they were living in this earth curse system of slavery, bondage, hard toil, and sweat. And the Father said, look, but this is the way life is supposed to be for you. So read with me this passage. This is Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 7. Let's read together. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water with fountains and springs that gush out valleys and hills. Let's continue. It is a land of wheat, barley, of grapevines, fig tree. It is a land of Okay. Now, going back, top left corner, that's God's desire. There we see an example, that passage of what God's desire is. Here's what I want. I want you to live in this way. Now, this is what I want you to do. Everybody do it. Get out your phones, get your Bible app, whatever. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Look at verses 1 through 14. All right, I'm going to give you 1 minute. I want you to read that as much as you can. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, because he's telling them this is how your life is going to be once you enter into the promised land. If you'll obey me, here's how life will be. Okay, you can stop. What do you read there? Abundance, blessing. You don't see toil, hardship, sweat. Yeah, those there is the hardship that's naturally going to come. But what you see is this abundance, right? Abundance. And again, going back, so that's going to God's desire. That's his desire. To me, that's a picture of how God wants things to be. But they were living in Exodus 1 and 2, which is down the bottom left corner, how this earth curse system. It was a very tangible expression of how the earth curse system. Now, looking now at the upper right-hand corner, you see, again, earthbound living. Here's earthbound living. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Here's where most of us, you say, well, that's Old Testament, that was then, blah, yeah, yeah. Okay, go ahead, say that. But let's go to Matthew chapter 6. These are the words of Jesus, begins verse 25. This is what I tell you, not to worry about your everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or clothes to wear. Isn't life more important than food and your body more important than clothing? Verse 27 and 28. Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. Verse 31 and 32. So don't worry about the things saying, you know, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? You know, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. And then finally, verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow. What do you see described there? The earth system. Worry, worry, worry. Am I going to have enough? Is there going to be enough check left at the end of the month? Will I be able to meet all of my needs? Are we going to be okay? In fact, some of you just say, you know, this is my life. I'm just always going to live where I can just get by. I'm never going to have enough. I guess I will always just have to learn how to live in debt. Or I've got so much debt, I will never be able to get it beyond me. You see, here's what we've done. Give me a moment. Got that up on the screen. Let's see if I can get to it. Here's what we have done. We have said this. This is the earth curse system. And this is the way most of us are living, in worry, doubt, fear, hardship, whatever. And we say, well, that's just the way life is supposed to be, right there. But God says, no, my desire is Genesis 1 here, and there is another way to live, and it's Matthew 6:33. Look at Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else. And his righteousness and all these things that you're worrying about will be what? Will be added. See, most of us, when we think about seek first the kingdom, what do we think about? Well, I'm just, you know, think about heaven. I just need to think about heaven. Okay, I'm thinking about heaven. That's going to happen. No. I mean, that's, you know, that's nice. Go ahead and do that. But no, he's saying, look, there is a king. Okay, we got a king. Where's his kingdom? It's here, like right now. Yes, it's up there, but he says you pray that kingdom is down here. The kingdom of God is inside of us. So he's the king. There's a kingdom. How do kings rule kingdoms? With laws. With laws. Good kings rule their kingdom with laws. And you learn the laws, and you can live in abundance in that kingdom. Folks, when it talks about seek the kingdom, it is saying seek, understand the laws of how the kingdom of God operate. Understand those laws, and everything you need will be added. And so that's what we're going to be doing over the weeks ahead. But most of us, here's how we live right here. We just assume Genesis 3 is just, that's the way life is always going to be for me. And we have shortcut what the cross has provided for us. We don't live in the reality of the abundance that's for that we have because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There is abundance. And again, I'm talking about every part. Not just one part, but every part of my life there is abundance. If you look at Galatians chapter 3, let's look there for a moment. Galatians 3, 13 and 14, he says this, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law." He's rescued, I would say not just the curse of the law, but the curse of Genesis 3. I've been rescued, that's me, I'm saying that. He's rescued me from that curse. And went, because he has hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoings through Christ Jesus. Verse 14, God has blessed the Gentiles, that's us, with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. I live under the blessing of Abraham. Amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I want to tell you something. Abraham lived a blessed life. It was a hard life. It was a tough life. And yet it still was a blessed life. God blessed him in every way. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verses that's on the screen, 3 through 7. And that's the way it is, what it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves. Say slaves. We were slaves, or again, Exodus 2, Exodus 1, we were slaves so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Say children. So I was a slave, now I'm a child. And because we are his children, God has sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out now, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. Can I hear an amen to that? I am not a slave, I am a child, and since I am a child, he has made me a what?
Heir.
What does an heir indicate? Inheritance. Inheritance. It indicates abundance. It indicates provision. Listen, friends, this is the thing that we've got to live in right here. We've got to live in this reality. In John chapter 1, verse 16, the Amplified says this, "For out of Jesus' fullness," that is the superabundance of Jesus' grace and truth, "we have received grace upon grace," that is spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. It's now ours now because of Jesus Christ. I am not bound to the earth cursed system any longer.
Amen.
I'm in it, but it is not over me. We live above it. We live in another kingdom. We live by other kingdom laws. And as we learn these laws, seek out the kingdom, all of these things will be added unto us. Just like the Israelites can live under the blessing of God through obedience, now I can live in abundance through faith in Jesus Christ. This thing is not automatic. It requires a renewal or rewiring of our mind. I mean like a real rewiring of our mind, the way we see things now. Why is this important? I want you to listen. I'm about done. Let me tell you why this is important. There is a world headed to hell. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be in a place of abundance so that the world can say, they've got something different than what I've got.
That's right.
What the world does today, they look at the church, they say, man, you're not much different than me. You just go to church on Sunday. They need to see abundance coming out of our life. Now, I know they do. There's some people that would say, yes, that's true. But I mean like every one of us, 100% of us, that there is abundance coming. There's abundant love and abundant joy and abundant forgiveness and abundant hope and abundant patience and abundant justice coming out of our lives. And people say, man, I like that. And even abundant wealth. Because you know what's going to happen if I get when I get wealthy? You know what I'm going to do? Wow. Wow. There is a world headed to hell. And folks, I'm telling you, there are missionaries out there saying, man, just give us the money. If we just had the money, if we just had the resources, we could do this thing. I want to be able to fully fund them all. And as does God. Do you know how Jesus did ministry? Look, I think it's Luke chapter 8. He had a bunch of women paying for it. You say, well, I guess he just, you know, said abracadabra and there's the money or what? No! It was women paying for the ministry, for his work to go out so that he didn't have to work. Friend, I'm telling you, there are a few things that the American church can offer the rest of the church in the world. One of the things is we can offer training because we've got the best scholars, the best Bible teachers in the world, I believe. But the second thing that the American church can offer that I don't think there are any other nations can offer is we've got the finances. And literally, if our church and every church in America were living in a place of abundance, the gospel is spread to the entire world. God wants that for us. Not so we can hoard it. I'm not going to live in Luke 12 where I'm just hoarding it up in some big barn and say, look what I've got, look at all my junk. I don't want that. I want to share it. I want to give it, as does God, because he's a giver. That's why this thing is so important. It's not just about my life. It's about what God can do through my life. So it requires this change of mind within our lives. Amen. Let's stand together. I want you to bow with me. Many of us here, we're living in this earth-cursed mindset, this poverty mindset. It's just eking by. We're just barely able to get by. I just want a little cabin in the woods. That's all I want, Jesus. That's all I want. Just give me a cabin in the woods. And Jesus is saying, man, there is a lot more out there. There is more available. Before I pray, look up on the screen here. Look at this passage. Read this with me. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. It doesn't come with painful toil and sweat. He says, I'll make you rich. And again, I'm not just going to limit that to money. I mean just everything. And he adds no sorrow. I don't have to sweat for it and labor for it and like, oh, when's it going to happen? I can live in peace and it just kind of flows. I can live in rest. You know, there is a rest that we can live in, but a lot of us, we don't live in that rest. It's just painful toil and sweat with our lives. We're just looking to get to the next thing. So Holy Spirit, I ask today that you would change our understanding to see things the way you see things. That we have been liberated from that curse. That curse, that earth curse system, we don't live in Babylon anymore. We can live in the kingdom. We can live in a place of abundance. And so today, Lord, I pray that I ask that you would release angels right now to unlock that in people's minds. Those that are open, right now, just unlock it. In fact, would you just pray that out? Just say with me, unlock it. Holy Spirit, let me see this truth. Amen. Amen, Lord. Let us all see this, that we can live in the abundant life now and not have to wait. At the end of the service, in just a moment, we're going to be dismissed. We've got food out there. Please stay for the luncheon, even if you didn't bring any food. We always have more than enough. I think we've got enough chicken to feed an army. So, please stay because we don't know what to do with it after it's over. So, please stay for that. But if you're here, you say, you know what, I really need some prayer. There may be some things going on in your life where you really need God a breakthrough. And I'm going to be down front along with our prayer team and deacons. We're going to be down front. You need some kind of breakthrough. You need to hear from God on something or physical, financial need. We're going to pray for you. But for the rest, we're going to dismiss. We'll go out the back doors. The food's all there and all that good stuff. And they've got everything all set up. So, Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this time. And we pray your blessings. We do pray, Lord, that we would walk and understand, begin to live in the blessings that have been provided for us through the cross of Jesus. We ask this in His name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Receive from the Lord. Now may the peace of God, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, who ratified an eternal covenant with His blood, may He today equip you with all that you need. Amen. For doing His will. May He produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to Him, so that all glory and honor and praise be to Him forever and ever. Amen and amen.